Our reading for Friday, June 19th, is going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as a spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether a Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So going back to verse 1, he said that he could not address them as spiritual people, which means to say that they had not progressed to the point of really being able to take on some meaty spiritual truths. That's why he states, I fed you with milk, not solid food. He said, you were babes, you were infants, you were not progressed to the point that you could handle the solid food. So he had fed them with the milk, which would be the elementary things. So they were not progressing spiritually so that they could engage in an understanding of those meatier spiritual concepts. That's why he says that he regarded them as infants in Christ. Verse 3, he says, he ends verse 2 with, you're not ready. Verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. And then he points out why he makes that statement. There's jealousy, strife among them. Are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? As Christians, we're called to rise to a higher standard, that Christian way, thinking spiritually, acting with spiritual motivations. And he says they're not doing that. So he calls them those that are still engaged with the flesh or still of the flesh. Verse 4, when one says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Are you not talking, thinking in this human fleshly way instead of accepting those standards of spirituality? So then he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. They were doing their job as servants of the Lord. Nothing more. Don't raise them to something higher than where they should be. Don't put them up on some special pedestal that really only belongs to the Lord. You don't say, I follow Paul or Cephas or Apollos. No, I follow the Lord. That the Lord belongs in that spot. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Again, we just did our job. We just engaged in the activities that were assigned to us as servants of the Lord. And that's where the focus needs to be. Don't focus on the fact that Paul planted, and don't focus on the fact that Apollos watered. Focus on the fact that God gave the increase. For we are nothing without God behind us. We are nothing without God directing us. Then he says, he who plants and he who waters is one. So he and Apollos were united in their efforts. They are both pushing toward the same goal, and it is God that gives that increase. So he says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So you belong to God. You don't belong to me. That's what Paul is saying. You don't belong to Apollos. You don't belong to anybody but God himself. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now, going back to this idea that he planted and Apollos watered, he states here in verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. It's just another way of saying I planted. And he says, then someone else is building upon it. So there's growth out of what I began. I started the building process, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Now he's going to address that there are those that are either pushing this idea or teaching this idea that is tripping them up. So let each one take care how, and I would even add what, he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. Now, Paul already did that, and it was Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. Then he mentions an array of building materials. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. It's hard for me to imagine that you build using gold. We decorate with gold. Perhaps he's talking in a metaphorical sense regarding how the temple was built, in that they did use a lot of gold inlay, that type of thing, silver, precious stones. But when we think about building, we're probably thinking about wood, concrete, bricks, drywall, all of those things that we see in our modern houses. But then he says hay and straw. Now, I have read about people that will build a house using bales of straw, and then they build upon that, and I've even read that that's a pretty well insulated house and it does pretty well. But that's not the norm. And I think that's because when we think about hay or straw, we think about something that decays. When we think about something that if we had a fire, it was going to be gone in an instant. It was going to go up in smoke in just a mere moment. And then he says, each one's work will become manifest. Well, just bear with me for a moment and let me follow this train of thought a little bit farther. So let's say that we're building a house. We've put down a foundation, or maybe we hired somebody to put down a foundation. They did a good job. They built a nice, sturdy slab for us to build upon. And maybe there's several of us, and we decide we'll each build a wall. You build the front wall, I'll build the back wall. Brother A builds the left wall, and Brother B builds the other side wall. We don't coordinate together. We don't have a building plan, if you will. We don't have a standard of what kind of building products we're going to use. And we don't pay attention to what each other is doing. And so we get our walls built. We're ready to start thinking about a roof. And we look around, and on one side, we have normal studs and a brick outlay. And then on another side, maybe they decided they'll go with stucco. So both perfectly valid building materials, but they look drastically different. But then on the other side, you look and there's just bales of hay. And you think, well, how's that going to work? How are we going to tie in all this together? And I didn't really want a house that was made out of hay or straw. And we begin to realize how important having a plan was. having some sort of a blueprint or building plans, at least some coordination with one another. But understand, it is not man that comes up with the building plan for God's spiritual house. God did. He has given us the pattern through His Word, and we are to teach only what is found within that Word. And we are to do what that Word tells us to do. And when we do that, then we build properly on that foundation, and what we build will stand. But he goes on to say, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, speaking of day of judgment, the last day, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. That'll be the fire of that last day that will judge whether things are acceptable or not. That's the test. And if you didn't build according to God's building plan, does it stand the test? No. No, it'll be burned up, it'll be destroyed. So if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. I think that here Paul is shifting just a little bit from the idea of, are you using the right materials, to, are you building on the right foundation? Because he makes this statement that he himself will be saved. So, trying to put these two together, I think Paul is making reference to effort, motivation, the right foundation, the right work. He is not saying that someone who stirs up division and strife within the church is still going to be saved. No. If we are committing sin by stirring up division and strife among the brethren, then we will be judged for that sin, and we will be condemned for that sin if we do not repent before that day. So I think we have to apply some logic and some other scriptures there to come to that understanding. Verse 17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. If you're destroying God's temple, you are destroying souls, you are destroying lives. Another way to look at this in terms of destroying would also be to defile or to corrupt. If anyone defiles or corrupts God's temple, God will destroy him. That is, God will judge him for that sin. And there's a few ways that can be done, through false teaching, through influence, but he says you're going to be held accountable. Verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Going back to that contrast between wisdom of the world and wisdom of God. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written he catches the wise in their craftiness. So they think that they're wise. They think that they've got everything figured out. But instead, they don't really have anything figured out. Verse 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. That means he knows their plans, he knows their purposes, their motivations, their designs, he knows everything about it. And what he sees is the futility that is within because of what they're following instead of following the wisdom of God. Then he says, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. They should not be engaged in this divisiveness. They should not become caught up in this entanglement that would defile them. And he explains what he means by all things are yours in verse 22 when he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. First, in mentioning these three, he says you've benefited from their work. Their work was for the betterment of their souls, for the salvation of their souls, for the building of the church, and for the edification of all that were involved. When he says the world, I don't think we should interpret that as to say the sinful world, or the way that John uses it when he says that we should not love the world nor the things that are in the world. Now, I think here he's talking about creation, that which God has created and does benefit us. Then life and death, they have their place as well. In life, we can carry out our service. We can enjoy carrying out our service. We can enjoy the blessings of God. And then in death, even in death, we have an interest. We have something to look forward to. That is the last day in which we'll be found faithful if we are Christ's. So, the work of Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, the created world, life or death, present or future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So if this is all true, if they are Christ's and Christ is God's, then they belong to God, and they should not be boasting in men. They should not be dividing themselves up based on Paul or Apollos or anybody else. It's very important that we don't bring worldly contentions into the church. And I know that that's easier said than done. We live a life, and that life is, for the most part, carried out in this world. That means that we're influenced by it on a continual basis. And sometimes, in our own folly, thinking it is wisdom, we try to carry over some of those things that we might apply in other areas into the church. And we might usurp God's plan or cause division that was not part of God's plan. No, we need to accept our role. We need to do our work. We need to accept our own limitations. And we need to accept the wisdom of God. And if we do all those things, then we will not have that division. We will be united, and we will enjoy the blessings of a peaceful local congregation that belongs to the Lord. Thank you for listening today. Please come back on Monday as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Please be in prayer that God may be with us all.